Okay, so picking up where we were at the end of last year. Again, we started this to summarize, try to summarize a year's worth of material in 2 minutes. We've been discussing how to set up a shayla, basically, in terms of any technology, because, especially as it pertains to Hilcha Shabbos, obviously we're not through setting up the shayla, we'll try to go into some of the details and some of the particulars, but we have to, in order to ask any question, question one you have to ask is, what malacha are we talking about at all? Are we still doing things? Like we spoke about the time, we spoke about being over Havara by using incandescent lights. We spoke about typing on computer screens. Is that a form of ksiva? Is that a form of writing? We spoke about cooking in microwave ovens. Is that still considered cooking? Okay, but the question is about the nature of each of those malachos. That was question number one. Then we delved into, okay, let's assume there's no other malacha involved. The issue just simply of using electricity per se, turning on and off electricity, is there any problem, what the problem is in that? So we spoke about that at great length as well. Question. Then that led us to the next question, which again we dealt with, was how directly involved am I in doing that iser? Is it considered a grama or is it considered a maisa mamish? And is it considered a maisa or a grama? So again, that was in terms of last year. So now the point we're up to continuing with is, okay, now we already know what malacha you're doing. You already know whether or not, in terms of using electricity itself. Now we know whether it's a grama or not. So now the question to turn into is, how much kavana do you have in terms of what I'm doing? Right? That's going to be a major, major issue in terms of many areas, especially in terms of using technology for Shabbos. In terms of faith, I'm going to walk down the street, and when I'm going to walk down the street, I'm going to cause lights to go on, and things to flicker, and this noise to happen, and a billion other things to go on and off, and they're happening largely without my kavana. Okay, so the next thing we're going to have to start talking about now is the sugya of davar she'eino miskaven / psik reisha. And start in terms of analyzing those halachos, they're going to become critical understanding what's permissible, what's not, in many of these areas on Shabbos. So I figured I'd start off confusing us a little bit. Okay, we know there's a very well-known machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, and talking to some Tavi Chachamim, so certainly they know already the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon as to whether or not the davar she'eino miskaven is asur or mutter. And generally we paskin like Rav Shimon that davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. Classic case of davar she'eino miskaven is goer adam mitzvah kisa v'safsol v'atzel yiskaven laso schoritz. Person's allowed to drag a heavy furniture on the ground as long as he doesn't have intention in making a ditch in the ground. And of course, the Gemara qualifies in numerous places that, however, Mode Rav Shimon bipsik reisha velo yamos. Mode Rav Shimon bipsik reisha. Generally to be understood that if it's badly going to happen, then even Rav Shimon is Mode that you're chayiv. And of course, that's going to be a very critical thing in terms of critical to understand that everything that we've been talking about in terms of, again, walking down the street. So if it's a davar she'eino miskaven, it's going to be a huge kulav. It's not going to happen every single time. Then you're not machaving for it. So l'chora will be mutter. However, if it's a psik reisha, if it's going to happen every single time, then it's going to make things much more problematic. Okay, that's the simple. Let's try to analyze this a little bit deeper for a second. Okay, I'm going to read a Rambam. The Rambam deals with this issue. This is Perek Aleph, Halacha, Hey, and Vav. Dvarim hamutarim lasos v'shabes. V'shas asi oson efshe shetaseh beglalon melacha v'efshe shelo taseh. Okay, I'm doing something which is heter. And at that time, it's possible another melacha will be done. It's possible something else won't be done. Therefore, as long as you're not mechaving for the second thing, which is the melacha, then it's permissible. As long as you're not in mind to make the charetz. So even if it happens, don't say, I did an issur, I don't have to bring a chatos, I don't have to be concerned about it, since you had no kavanah for it in the first place. If a person's allowed to walk on grass, as long as he doesn't have in mind to pull out those grass, those blades of grass. If it happens to come out, you don't have to be worried about it. Again, if concerned with taking off hairs, similarly, Pirta de Chukah, this is the Gemara in Ksuvis, Pirta de Chukah, Mutter, Likonis, Babishabis, Afal Pirsha, Meshir. Afal Pisha Meshir Tsroros, you had to enter into a very narrow area, even though one may, by doing so, cause more pebbles or the like to fall off the sides. Again, since you're not mechaving, kol davar she'eino mechaving kagon zari is a mutter. However, Mishnah Halacha Vav, asa maisa v'nasis beglalo melacha. However, if one does something and through it one certainly is going to do another thing, another action which will be a malacha, afal pi shalon is kaven la chayiv. Shehadavar yodua sheyefshel shaltase osad malacha shaltase osad malacha. It will be it's clear, it's evident that it's impossible to do the first without having the second. Ketzad, this is the example that we're bothered by. One needs the head of a bird in order for a child to play with. I don't know, I guess a doll would be better than having him play with the head of a chicken. But okay. And therefore the individual cut off the bird's head on Shabbos. Therefore, the ultimate goal is not killing the bird. It's impossible to cut off the head without killing the bird. Rather, and automatically, the death of the bird is going to come. Okay, that seems to be the classic, simple interpretation of the words, Modi Rav Shimon Bipsik Resha Velo Yamas. My problem, though, is, if I would ask somebody to tell me what should the halachic status be of the case of what the Rambam describes of you would tell me, what should the halachic status be of that case? How would you define that case? Right? The classic case of malacha sheinis v'yichol gufa is the Rambam's next halacha. Kol osa b'halacha zayin. Kol osa malacha b'shabbos. Afal pish ein sarach legufa shal malacha chayiv aleha. The Rambam ironically seems to pask in the malacha sheinis v'yichol gufa is chayiv. Okay, that's a major machlokas b'shonim. Ketzad arisha kavo esaner meishu tzorach l'shemen olipsila k'deshel yaved. Person wants to put out the fire in order to save the shemen or to save the psila, or in order not to create a fire, Okay, shall back a cheres shall ner, shouldn't ruin the utensil which the ner is in. In other words, the definition of malacha sheni tzrich l'gufa appears to be, again, we obviously need the superficial analysis right now, but it seems to be where you're machaving to do this action, just what? You have another purpose in doing that action. Right? You even want the result, you just want it for a different reason. Similarly here, when you're cutting off the head of this chicken, you want the head off, which seemingly is the definition of having the chicken die. I mean, the headless chicken is not going to be alive for too long. Just you don't want it off because you don't want to have the chicken's head off because you want it to die. You want to have the chicken's head off because for some reason you want the chicken's head. So it should be a malacha sheni tzrich l'gufa. So for the Rambam talk, it may not make a difference. He's passing chayiv anyway. But first of all, it should be important for everybody else. Who passes malacha sheni tzrich l'gufa is pater. That's point number one. But the Rambam says, I'm not so into malacha sheni. I'm not really that interested right now talking about malacha sheni tzrich l'gufa. Because ironically, the Gedolei Achronim already asked this question. And just by the way, to make sure our definitions are correct, I should just point out the Kesef Mishnah already, right there. The Kesef Mishnah right there on Halacha Zayin. Yes. Hahefresh. Sheyesh bein malacha sheni tzrich l'gufa bein psik reish av lo yamus. The gabi psik reish eino mechavein l'malacha kol ikar. Ela sheinasis behech reya. Right? You don't have intention to do the malacha. Rather, it's just happening. The Kesef Mishnah on the Shiz. It's not there. It just happens by the hekweach, no matter what. Okay, that's a case of a psik reisha. You're not mechaving to the seder, you're mechaving to close the door, which was something we'll talk about much, much, much more in the future. That's going to be very important, Mar Makal. For exactly the same action, just not for this purpose. This is more or less the definition we just gave. So seemingly, a psik reisha should be what? The classic psik reisha of a lo yamos, cutting off the chicken's head, should be a malacha sheni tzrich l'gufa, not a psik reisha. So einach hanami, I should just note that, again, amongst the gedolei achronim, the Kapos Smarim is perish on Sukkah. Naf Lamed Gimel. He actually goes so far as to say the hashtag had the Amrina b'Talmud of a Kamaduchti Moder Hashem Ripsikresh Vel Yomus in Pirish Havik Gon Chotei Rosh Of, etc., etc. Amai Chayav Lav Mokas Nishik Lagufa. It's a dogma ba'alma. Ain't a chanami. You tackle pater in that case because it's malchus nitzich l'gufa. But it's that example was picked by Chazal as a dogma, and that's what he says. That's what the Kapos Tamarim says. My problem. Okay, so, hey, fine. You want to say it's used as a dogma? It's used as a dogma. My problem is ironically coming from the other direction, in the following way. It may become crucial for the following issue. Are we ever going to say that it's possible? Let me take it a step back. I think we mentioned a little bit in the past, and we'll mention more. Are there going to be any kulas to a psik reisha? I mean, again, psik reisha we assume is chayiv, as opposed to the reisha is kavim. But are there going to be any differences between a psik reisha and a maisa mamish? Lamashal. Classically, there's a Magen Avraham, which seems to say, and this is important to know the halacha, that an amir la'akom of a psik reisha, generally we say is mutter. What's that? Okay, a Safek Psik, or another very important case will be Haba Psik Reish Lo Nechol, which we'll talk about in the future as well. Right? Psik Reish Lo Nechol. So, L'chora, no one is going to say, simply if I'm doing a Maitzah Mamish, and it's just simply lo nechole, that's either makalko or it's not makalko, but that wouldn't be a question of secretion lo nechole. That's not a question of either makalko or a separate ptor. The question is when are we going to define something as going to be a secretion, or when is it going to be, or when is it going to be a maisa mamish? Okay? It's going to become critical in terms of the issues, again, as we're going to talk about with it as we continue. Okay, maybe I'll mention just one of them right now. Just to start us off, just to show you what we are, where we're headed a little bit. One of the issues which people talk about. I'll even show you where I'm coming from a bit in the Rishonim. It's a Gemara on page 3, if you want to look around in the Marmakomos. We'll get back to this a little bit more. But the Gemara there, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kof Lamed Gimel, Psik Reish Davka Bebeis Dvarim, that's where I am right now. Amar Mar, Basar Afal Pishyeshon Beheres Yimol, Devei Bebi. Okay, the Gemara tells you there that one's allowed to cut off a baheres in what situation? If there's a bris, if it's performed the bris milah, someone's supposed to do the bris milah, even though there's a saras on the makam milah de rebbe. So yes, the Gemara mat lamal dikra davashenim iskavin. Okay, so davashenim iskavin. Your intention there is to do what? Your intention is to do the bris milah, not to cut off the saras, which would be mutter. So the first teretz of the Gemara, you're right, it's a good question, Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks davar shenemes kavin is chayav anyway, so you need a pasuk to say you do the bris milah. That's Abaye's opinion. Rava says this. Afrav Shimon mode of psik resha. Afrav Shimon mode of psik resha. Ask the Rashba right over there the following question in the bold. Wait a second. Why is that considered Darash Eina Miskavin? Hello, Miskavin L'Ktsitsa. Elo, the Eina Miskavin L'Tahir, Elo L'Mol. The Ein Zek Hori Darash Eina Miskavin, Elo L'Locha Shein Yitzvich L'Gufa. Which could be Chai, which could be Pater, whatever the story would be about L'Locha Shein Yitzvich L'Gufa. So Mahadover Domer, Machabeg Achilas B'Shel Rabim, Below Machmas Gufo Shel Kiboy El Kedishol Yizuku Rabim Kedishu Gemara Membeis Mecham Shapinu. And whatever he gives numerous terutzim, why that's not the case? Why each one of them are interesting? Maybe Machade something about Ksitas Beheres. Ksitas Beheres includes with it and having a certain amount of higher kavana. That's one of the answers he gives. So that whatever the answers are that he gives, I'm not so interested in what they are right now. But again, the definition of psik resha has to be where I'm dealing with, as opposed to number one, malach hashem yisrich l'gufa, and or contrasted to maisa mamish, is what I'm more interested in right now. It has to be when I'm dealing with two separate things. When you're doing that maise gufa, albeit with a different intention, that's not a davar shenemes kavin, which, when it would badly happen, turn into a psik resha, that should be something else. It's malach hashem yisrich l'gufa, it's a different category, which should have its own rules. Derech Agav is a very strange ritz over there, not what we're talking about right now, who answers in a chanami what the Gemara means over there, that it's not a psikri, that it's not a, he doesn't mean the Rosh Hashanah Miskavi, he means Melech Hashanah Tzvich Legufa, which is a pella, because B'chura we always thought that Melech Hashanah Tzvich Legufa is Allah and Hilchah Shabbos, not in Hilchah Ksisas Baharis, which is a huge, huge, huge chiddush. But okay. But anyway, generally we'll keep this assumption, that question, that it has to be. So it's based on that idea, which Rav Shlomo Zalman raises the following discussion. Okay, this is going to be some of the more typical cases of what we're talking about in technology. I just want to show you how we're going to lead into this issue. It's right there on that page. I am Mori Esh HaSholem Tofresh Yadalit. In the situation of a thermostat, a refrigerator with a thermostat, right? Heicha dehapshich kiposeach mekarer memela tachnis chom. Va'yidekin yufal hamanoa kidei. I think that should be lekarer tzvei. Right? Typically, you're going to open the fridge, therefore the heat's going to come in. Memela, the motor is going to start working, they're working harder. So he discusses whether or not, one suggestion is that can be considered a psik ratio, the psik ratio of the nechle, psik ratio of the low nechle, you'd rather the heat doesn't get in at all. Okay. Then he continues. Sorry. That's the piece that I wanted here. He has another suffix. Sorry. In which on the certain occasions, so there was that page. Give me one second. That yeah, it's footnote number 9. That's what kind of what I'm thinking of. Yeah, I have it there. I'll have it elsewhere. That the Sefer Shfus Yitzchak of Yitzchak Darzi, again, we've quoted him many times in the past, he thought, based on other psukim of Shlomo Zalman himself, the following. And this may be relating to the thermostat, not only the thermostat, the more classical with psik ratio that we've all known and loved for many, many years, the famous case, what many consider a psik ratio, the light in the fridge. Right, the light in the refrigerator. So the classic case of the light in the refrigerator, we always thought that that's considered the classic psik ratio. You're right, you're opening the refrigerator for what purpose? For the purpose of taking out whatever's inside. And when you do, the light's going to go on. However, Shlomo Zalman in one place in Shmiras Shabbos suggests the following. This is very much what we're talking about right now. Dahainu. What is the method of turning on that light? The light in that fridge? Is there any other way of turning on the light in that fridge? Right? The method of turning on the light in that fridge is what? By opening the fridge. I don't even know if there is a switch. Meaning, maybe there happens to be a switch, but like it's so irrelevant, right? Lamashal, any of these rooms. Right, these rooms. Right, the way you turn on the light is by doing what? By walking in. Is there a switch someplace? I don't even know where it is. I mean, is it so? So at a certain point, are we going to say that? Or give the other example which he speaks about. I guess this is but one example where technology is going out. So nobody even knows what these things are anymore. So these are the old telephone booths. the old telephone booth, when you walk in, what would happen? The light would go on. Now, if you'd open the door, and the light would go on, so you're able to dial the number that you want or whatever. What?
Thing that you went into.
That's what's so funny?
No, because I was going to say, well, there's still one at the left there, and there's not the 186
in there, but
it's
not. It's Kabbalah. Like, we reached to the. I'm like an old man now already. These are like things that. What?
Even the ones I see around, which I think are, you know, they're like the remainder
of that generation.
Right.
Right, some of them, right, so they used to have telephone booths, and they used to have, some of them are more, some of them are more open than others. But they used to have booths. I don't even know if they still have it there, but on going into the old base Medrash, in Zeisman, I think they're still there, I don't know.
They have near.
Oh, yeah, you're talking on the street. I'm talking going into the, near the bathrooms, on the way to the bathrooms by the old building. They're not there anymore? I haven't been there in a while. So they used to close the door, and when you either open or close the door, the light would go on. Okay.
Now I understand. This makes sense. Because Terry can get from Russia, he talked about how you shouldn't dive in. Some people, they're in the airport or something, and they're just like going to the telephone booth and dive in and say, no, you should be proud to dive in and say, you don't need to like make an announcement, but you should be proud, you don't need to run away either. I didn't quite understand, like, where...
The telephone booth, yeah. Right, I thought that's the mile, this is an aside, but I always thought that's the mile of, a mile or whatever of cell phones, that there used to be when you had to dive in and to say a bracha, or you're in a strange situation, you have to go into a telephone booth and stay there. Right. But now everybody's walking the streets talking. You don't have to do this. Otherwise people think you're crazy talking to yourself. But... anyway, so that would be the... So there again, as an example, those type of booths, when you walk in there and the light would go on, I don't even know if there is a switch. Maybe somewhere behind something, there's a switch which opens or closes. In other words, the way to open that light, or the way to open that air conditioner, or the way to open whatever we're talking about, is by going in. So now what's going to... Obviously, the main reason you're going in is not because you want... I mean, theory is possible. Sometimes the person, you go in there because you want to read something, you want the light. Okay, in theory, that's possible. But usually, the person goes in there and they want to make a phone call. And derech agav, tov kedei, the light goes on. But is that necessarily the same thing as gorer adam mita kisa v'safsal, and... blades of grass are gonna make a ditch, or are gonna walk on the grass, and blades of grass are gonna come out. This seems to be a much more inherent connection between your opening that door and the light going on, whether the fact that it's built in for that, it's built for that purpose. I'm trying to argue it may be worse than a psik ratio. I'm not trying to argue that. It's not my argument at all. This is the argument that Shlomo Zalman himself has in several places in Shmir Shabbos. Like, ironically, back the famous case, I think that everybody was probably introduced to Psik Resha when they were 8 years old, and then they learned about the refrigerator. I think that's the way everybody learns about it. So that case, is that Kufa, if Psik Resha, is that more like Ksitzas Beheres, Ksitzas Tamila with the Beheres there? Or is that what we're calling maybe Umlach Hashem Svich L'Gufa? But ironically, here maybe Svich L'Gufa also, here you want everything. And we have to figure out whether or not this would even be Umlach Svich L'Gufa, Shein Svich L'Gufa. That's what some of these postgames suggest. In other words, what we're trying to create, is there something called, something worse than a Psik Resha? Is there something where it becomes Maisa Echad at a certain point? Okay, that's basically one of the things I'm going to try to deal with in terms of, is there something worse? The other angle, which we're going to have to talk about again by recourse, is the exact opposite. And so let's try to just set things up today before we continue. is the exact opposite question. Is, are there going to be any situations which are, even though something is going to be vada going to be happening, right? Afal pichin, for some reason that may or may not be considered, that may not be considered a psik resha, right? For some reason, one's so totally removed from something, then it may, even though it's vada happening, because of there's something about it which makes it like a super psik resha, a super darish enem misgavim, something like that. But even though the psik resha, it would still be mutter. We'll have to define better as we proceed. We'll do what? No, I'm not even. It's not grum. It may not be. I'm not sure accurate would be grum. The grum would be it happened either with a time delay of some sort, or one action causes another one. Kol lechitza. Here, maybe there's no kol lechitza. It would happen at the same moment with through the same act, but it would happen in a completely. In a way that you're totally removed from it. Well, that's all. We'll have to talk about that more in the future as well. Okay, so probably the most famous discussion in terms of psik resha is, of course, the famous discussion of the arah. Okay. So we'll start that now, and that will lead us into some of the other aspects. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Aleph speaks of, again, the Shochet Mishamayim Achayev. Is there a Gemara here? That would be helpful. If not, that would be a Shabbos there, is it? I should have brought one. Okay. So the Gemara speaks of killing the of shechting shemayim achayev shechayim mishem shochet mishem soveya. I'm sorry. That's by the chalazon. By squeezing the chalazon, by killing it. So he asked the Gemara, when it squeezes it, it's automatically a psik resha. The Gemara's Matari, it's the kamo de ish bein ishama tvei nechalek yechad leitzol tzav tzevei. There, when you're squeezing out the dam of the chalazon in order to use it as a dye, you'd rather it still be alive. That it's alive, it's more colorful. To which Rashi explains, chimoder of shimen hechad lo ichpat le miu ichavne lo mechavne. The Rashi seems to say, a little problematic Rashi, that the category is based on lo ich patle, as opposed to you're still chayiv as long as lo ich patle. But if it's bedavka lo nechale, if it's negative, then that's when you're pater. Rekiv Eger already notes over there the Torah really should be not based on lo echpat le, but rather based on lo nechal le. If it's long, lo echpat le and lo nechal le shouldn't make a difference at all. They should both be the same thing as lo nechal le. To which Tosfos first opinion there says, what do you mean? What's the Torah based on in that situation? Which Tosis tells you that the Torah there is not based on the Torah is based on Machashen Yisrich Lagufa. Meaning since Lo Nechle Delit Tzotzave, therefore it's Machashen Yisrich Lagufa. However, of course, the simple way of learning this Gemara is like the very, 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 very famous Shita of the Aruch. The very, 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 very famous Shita of the Aruch that the Chim Oder Rav Shimon B'Psik Resha, only under what scenario? Only in the scenario of a Psik Resha, the Nechale. Once it's a Psik Resha, the Lo Nechale, of course, he patters. go. Some of the rayas back and forth, some of the understandings, the very, very famous Gemara and Daf Kuf Gimel. That seems to be a raya that Psik Reish Adolani Chalei is Pater. The Gemara there tells of someone watering the grass, or watering someone pouring water, and the Gemara said, so of course it should be chayiv. So how come I asking married ba'arva delav delay? Ba'arva delav delay, where a person is pouring water, or he's making a hole, or the like, ba'arva delav delay, if it's not his. So it seems to be, even though psik resha is going to affect the ground, since it's arva delav delay, simple pshat is, therefore, it's no longer going to be chayiv because the psik resha delo nechalei. However, other Rishonim seem to learn the Pshat there is very, very different. The other Mahalach to answer that Gemara is very, very different because Shiny, when I'm dealing with Harisha, there's a component of Harisha when it's B'davka Nechalei for Litzarach HaKarka. It's different than other malachos. I'm simply not doing the malacha at all if I don't have kavana l'tzarech hakarka. That's one raya. Or similarly, the gemara in sukkah. Some of the rayas mikana lakan that the gemara there speaks as well. If I'm picking off the berries off the hadasim on yontif. So the Gemara says that I'm potter. So how could you do it? How could you be potter? This way, Hoshana Achriti. I being Misakin. This way, Hoshana Achriti. So which the simple interpretation that is, in other words, even though it's a psikresha, since it's lo nechale, again, it's going to be mutter. However, the Balei Tosfos Miyashiv. How could, if you hold that Psikresha Lo Nechalei still there's no Ptoris, how are you going to Miyashiv that Gemara? No, shiny there, because the whole Malacha is to be Misakein, and clearly, if I would pull off a berry off a Hoshana in the middle of Cheshvan, right now, then there's nothing to do with Sukkot, and clearly I'm not going to be chayef for that. So there's no shayefus at all to the Malacha Bechlach. Okay, so that's the very, very famous Machlokas, whether an apsik resha tilo nechale is chayev or not. So what's that discussion going to be? How to understand that discussion? And we'll set up that lumnus right now, which will basically revolve around the entire lumnus that we've been talking about until now. What I'm saying right now is not at all my own. I'm just saying classical lumnus and understanding this. This is most famous by known by Chana Wasserman, Kovitz Yoram, that his very famous Chakira is whether or not Sikresha is Chayev because it is Ki'ilu Mechavein, and that if that's the case, Hechad Alon Nechali probably wouldn't say that. Or the other alternative is that, and this is what how it's going to connect to the other thing I've been talking about a little bit, is that the way that Psik Resha makes things different is that it turns what used to be, again, is that basically there are two different things going on. There's two different maisin ki'ilu. There's one thing that I'm dragging, and there's another. Tangentially, what's happening is also there's a charitz coming out sometimes. However, if 100% of the time, every single time I'm being osir charitz, then in essence, what you just created was what part of being gorer other mita kitzav esavtol, and under such a scenario is what is being osir charitz. Whether I'm a chavin for it or not, whether it's nechale or not, it's maisa echad. The two go together, right? It's the two are completely intertwined. It's one maisa. So if that's going to be the lamdas, that's going to affect things very, very much in terms of what we were speaking about before. Is the dipa going to apply when I'm not mechaving for it at all? Or how about if I'm, or how about if it turns into some ma'is echon in some other way? Gufa, understanding that lamdas gufa will affect some of the other questions that I guess we'll pick up, Mirtz Hashem, next week. Just to maybe summarize what we did so far, in the 1 minute version, we discussed the concept of Psik Resha in terms of how it's going to affect in the end of technology. We asked a question on the Rambam, on everybody's really, the case of Psik Resha, Donechale itself, the case of Psik Resha cutting off the chicken's head for the sake of wanting the head, not wanting the bird to die, that Gufa should really not be a Psik Resha, it should be Gufa the Maisa itself. And do we see from there, from the fact that Rambam is calling that, maybe what it's really saying is that it's telling you is that it is Maiseach, and that's maybe Gufa the Yisod of Psik Resha, which gets into do you need to be Mechavein for it? Do you need to be Nechole? Is there anything worse than a Psik Resha? Something, let's talk about more.